Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. The postal code is K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We are so grateful for your encouragement and support. Today in particular, we have in mind an anonymous donor who has supported the cost of this broadcast today, but doesn't wish to be acknowledged on the air. You too can support our program financially by visiting our website, or there on the website you can also find materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. If you miss an episode of the show, you can go to the website and download the podcast or MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on the website, which is goodnewschristianministries.ca. Today, I want to share with you the message of the Easter season, and in fact, the message of the entire gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's such good news, and it is the reason we celebrate not only at Easter, but week after week, day after day, year after year. This account of the meaning of Christ's resurrection from the dead is taken from one of the very first evangelistic sermons. It's recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and I'm reading from chapter 2, verse 22 to 41, where Peter is preaching to people who have gathered on the day of Pentecost, hearing an uproar in the place where the disciples are staying. They've gathered around, and they hear this message from Peter. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made it known to me the paths of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies footstools for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is a wonderful proclamation, an early account of the disciples' firm understanding that Jesus' resurrection from the dead didn't just mean life for them or for him. It meant life for all who would receive Jesus Christ. We'll take a deeper look at what this means in a few moments. But first, I'd like you to hear a traditional and glorious Easter hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. It's from a recording by the Golden Hymns of Praise. Would you listen to it with me? As I think about the resurrection, what I want to communicate is certainly gratitude. Gratitude for what God has done for us, for me, for you, for the world, through raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ was sent to earth, the eternal God in human flesh, and he lived and taught so that we would know how to live, so that we would understand the love of God for us. He healed and showed God's great compassion in all that he did. And when he went to the cross, he declared that he was laying down his life as a ransom for many. He offered his life for our lives. He offered to take the burden of sin upon himself so that we would not be bearing it. He was raised by the Father to new and eternal life, and he has offered us the promise of that same resurrected life through him. God has met our need, and our need is undeniable. You may have some aspect of that need present in your life right now. You may be aware of it. You may be struggling with things that are just not right in your life. We can always point to circumstances outside ourselves that are difficult and trying, but the things that really get to us are the internal struggles, what we Christians call the struggle with sin. It might be a struggle with attitudes and moods and rage and temper, ways of responding to the world that you wish you could overcome. You wish you weren't overwhelmed sometimes by strong feelings that cause you to act in ways you didn't want to act. Sometimes it's not a strong feeling of that nature, but more of an appetite, something that you wish you had more control over because you seem to be driven to consume something. You may find issues within relationships, ways of responding to people, ways of responding to yourself and internal struggles that come because of fears or doubts in relationships with others, or words that are spoken that can't be taken back, or neglect of another that you regret. There are things in our lives that aren't leading us to more life, that aren't leading us to a greater goodness. There are things in our lives that are leading to destruction of our relationships, of ourselves. And I'm sure that we've all tried to find help. Many of us have tried to help ourselves in many ways. We've tried to make resolutions. We've tried to develop new habits. We've tried to receive motivation from speakers and even from the scriptures. There's a comic that I found entertaining about the self-help efforts that people make, where a customer was in a bookstore and he asked one of the clerks where the self-help section was, and the clerk responded by saying, "I don't think you quite get the concept." Yes, there's many people who will write books telling us how we can help ourselves, and we're glad we have their help. But very often those books leave us just desiring our salvation more because we are not finding the answers we need. And so we come upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and we encounter the power of the resurrection. We encounter a change made in the world that's not made by human effort, but made by the power of God. Even as a religious event, do you think that the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened because the disciples prayed the right prayers? Because the disciples had amazing faith? Do you think that by eloquent prayers or by strong conviction they raised Jesus from the dead? Instead, the disciples were scattered. They were denying Jesus. If they were crying out anything, they were crying out that prayer which we have cried out so many times in our agonies. Why, Lord? Why? Now that's a good prayer. To go to God in your need and even to simply cry out the word why is a good prayer. But it's not that which led to Jesus Christ being raised. God did not raise Jesus Christ because he thought the disciples had worked hard enough to deserve it, or because he got the idea because somebody with a long prayer twisted his arm into doing it. God, out of his goodness, exercised his power when we were powerless, when we were helpless. The disciples are a good example of us in the midst of the need of the world. Jesus Christ dies on the cross, and they don't respond with faith. They respond with fear. They respond with denial. They respond by hiding and shrinking away. But God did not shrink away from our need. God had the will. God had the courage. God had the strength. God had the power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead and set Jesus at his right hand and set the disciples right again. Even Paul, the apostle, makes a very clear point that the gospel is not about eloquent words or a message that somehow just stirs the soul in its own power. I hope, I'm not a motivational speaker as I speak to you, that somehow or other by saying the right words I will make a psychological impact and simply make a human difference in your life. Instead, what I hope is that the word of the gospel, as it reaches your heart, will be used by the power of God to bring new life into your heart, to bring new life and new power, new strength against sin, and peace and forgiveness and joy. Since it's not a matter of our goodness, of our strength, of our power, we can rejoice, especially if we're irreligious people, especially if we are doubtful people, especially if we are people who lack in hope. Because it's not by your hope that you'll be saved. It's not by your willpower. It's not by your religiousness. God came to save people who had wandered away from him, people who were lost to him, people who couldn't find him. God came to save people, and we see him healing people who doubted. We see him being worshipped by people who have turned from questions and uncertainty by the power of his resurrection. Thomas was changed from someone who wouldn't believe to someone who rejoiced and worshipped the Lord. God came to save you. Antagonistic? Irreligious? Sinful? Such were the people he called. Yes, some of the people he called were religious people. Simon the Zealot believed in the divine right of Israel to rule itself. But Matthew, the tax collector, had given up on Israel and had turned to become a person who helped the Romans gather taxes from his conquered countrymen. There were some who were found by Jesus in the midst of prayer, and others who were found just in the everyday work of life, fishing at their boats, collecting their taxes, doing their daily rounds. God came to save a wide variety of people, and I think we can find ourselves in the pages of Scripture. Well, this is good news for us, and I want to speak more about it, but I do want to have you listen to another song that speaks about Jesus breathing life into creation, into the world around us, and into new life into us through his grace. This is Breathing Life by Salvador. If God can raise Jesus from death, can take that battered, pierced, flogged, crucified body, which lay in the grave for 3 days, and if he can bring that back to life, if he can give him a life that is beyond even our earthly life, then surely he can help you. Have you been battered in this world? Have you been hard-pressed and gone through great difficulty? Have you endured the arrows and slings of outrageous fortune? Have you gone through the mill? Do you find yourself wondering if Jesus can help you? Well, this is a story, but not a story that is just intended to make you feel better so you can try harder. This is the testimony of what God does, still does, to bring the faithless to faith, to bring bad people to goodness, to bring people who just can't try any harder into the grace and rest and peace of his new life. Yes, we ask. There's a part that we play. We allow God to do his transforming work in us. But it's not our asking that changes us. It's God responding. It's the life of Jesus within us. You know, this broadcast today is possible because Jesus changes lives. Jesus changed my life. That's why I'm here giving this message today. And there's an unbroken chain of Jesus' salvation that has led to this program, this moment in which you're hearing this message today. He saved me. He saved those who founded this program and those who support this program. He saved the people who shared the gospel with us. And that stretches back in an unbroken chain of salvation back to that first Easter morning, miracle after miracle of transformed lives. The testimony of believers that God changed them has led to people receiving and accepting the opportunity to let Jesus change them, and so it goes on. And this story can continue today as people hearing this word turn to God and ask. They ask, Lord, let the power which raised Jesus from death make me new. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and raise me to new life. He is calling you to follow him in his eternal grace. Let's pray together. Lord, if we already have received you, we're praying right now for others who are listening to this message, that they might ask you. And whether they ask doubtfully or with strong conviction, that you would respond by your Holy Spirit to do the work which they cannot do, bring them to new life and salvation, deliver them from sin and bring them forgiveness. Lord, we pray with those who are now praying that you would come to them, that you would hear their prayer, not because they pray loudly, but because you listen so well and you love to save people. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listeners, once again, I want to thank you for your encouragement and support. We do thank you because you keep us on the air week by week, and we encourage you to support our ministry prayerfully and financially. If you would like to make a donation, you can either make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184 Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KZOG1W0, and we'll be happy to send you a tax receipt at income tax time. Or again, you can visit our website and make a donation through the donation buttons there. Please be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Now, to conclude our program, I'd like to have you listen to a song called The Easter Song. This is sung by GLAAD, although it was originally written by Keith Green. It's from GLAAD's album, A Cappella Project. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is no longer dead.
He is no longer dead.
Just as he said, quickly now, go tell his disciples, Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
No longer dead.
No longer dead. Joy.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.